that everything is good, then we are so much more willing to make an investment, you know, maybe bet on ourselves a little bit, go for that bigger this or that, because we believe that, you know, more money is coming. But when things feel uncertain, naturally, we're going to become tighter, right? Like physically, we become tighter. I think we're stressed, yeah, right? We become physically tighter. We become tighter with our money. So I see that in therapists, right? Like our fear to invest in our businesses, and our clients are experiencing that as they're trying to decide, as you say, do I pay $800 for therapy that I know is really going to help me with my childhood trauma? Or do I keep that $800 in my household because money has become very tight?
Welcome to Money Skills for Therapists, the podcast that helps therapists and health practitioners in private practice go from money confusion and shame to calm, clarity, and confidence with their finances. If you've ever felt overwhelmed by numbers or avoided looking at your business money, you're in the right place. I'm Lindsay Bonham, therapist turned money coach and creator of Money Skills for Therapists. Before we jump in, check out my free on-demand masterclass. You'll find the link in the show notes or at moneynutsandbolts.com under masterclass. It's the best first step to finally feeling empowered with money in your private practice. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Therapy for Your Money. We have a special episode today. We're chatting with my friend, Lindsay Bonham from Money Skills for Therapists. Lindsay, you are one of my favorite people. I always enjoy chatting with you. And so thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And I'm very excited that this is a dual episode, which I also feel is very efficient.
Yeah.
So I think that we should pat ourselves on the back for efficiency.
Okay.
Because we're going to air this episode, I guess, kind of like edited your way on your podcast stream and edited my way on my podcast stream. So this is a dual function conversation.
Yeah, very efficient. Points for efficiency. So do you want to intro us in? What are we talking about today? We have got a plan.
Unofficially, this episode is called In This Economy, ... which is born out of you and I just talking about the changes that we've been seeing with our therapists that we support,
mm-hmm,
with what's happening in the economy, and talking to about our own businesses and what we've been seeing with changes and how people are acting and buying and thinking, because this is impacting literally everybody that we support right now.
Yeah. And there's just a lot of similarities, right, in what we're seeing. We work with kind of a lot of the same people. And we're recording this at the very, very end of September. Oh, it's almost October. So just for context, like, this is what's going on right now in the economy. Yeah.
Yes.
So where should we start?
How about we start by you sharing what you've been seeing in terms of your clients' numbers and the challenges that are coming up for them?
Yeah. We have been seeing, so at Green Oak, we work with a lot of practice owners, specifically a lot of group practice owners. So there are plenty of practices that are doing fine, where it's kind of cruise control, things are going well. They, for the most part, are practices that are pretty well established and that have good marketing mechanisms already, right? So they know what dials to pull to attract new clients. But we are seeing a lot more practices that are struggling with cash flow, where we are in a place of, I'm not sure I can make payroll, or payroll taxes are behind, or how do I pay myself, right? Just where the waterfall keeps going and cash problems keep really spiraling. I imagine it kind of like a drain, Lindsay, where things are just spiraling out of control. Like the closer you get to the bottom of that drain, like you're just going real fast and there's not that much that you can do to get out of it, right? And so sometimes we're at the top of that spiral, sometimes towards the bottom. But this year specifically, we have seen just a lot more folks coming in to work with us for the very first time, right? New clients to us that are in a, what I would call a cash distress situation, where, you know, it might almost be too late, where we are going to do everything in our power to help them get back on track, but it might actually already be too late, right? There is a point where an account that we don't have a magic wand, and there's only so much that we can do if things are already in a really bad shape, there may not be enough time for us to get things back on track.
Yeah. And as you're saying that, it makes you think about how that is so specific. Like that's the gift and the responsibility, liability of group practice.
Yeah.
We've built something that's just so much bigger. You know, I think about a group practice, especially a large group practice. Like, you know, I'm working with one therapist right now who's 55 clinicians working for them. And I know you work with folks of that scale too. That's kind of like a cruise ship size business.
Yes,
where it's
absolutely.
Like it takes a lot of time to turn and pivot and get everybody on board, and which is very different than folks who are in like solo practice, who are more in like a kayak, where they're
yes.
Okay, wow. I just got to like jump out and start doing these different things. So yeah, for a large business, the consequences can be huge when we haven't kind of seen the writing on the wall early enough.
Yes. And sometimes it's because you're not looking, right, at what is coming down the pike. Sometimes it just also happens as a surprise, right? Like we've seen this year, practices lose 25% of their clinicians in one fell swoop, right? Sometimes in one day. And that's not common, but it does happen. And it's, I mean, you can't plan ahead for that, right? Unless you hear the rumblings of an uproar.
Yeah.
You usually won't know that that's happening until it happens.
Yeah.
And if you're in a precarious situation to begin with, something like that can take the practice down, right? If you don't have reserves or a line of credit or cash in retained earnings, I mean, that can be the end of a practice on occasion. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm also seeing this in the folks that I know in solo practice.
Okay.
You know, just to, as we kind of think about the bigger picture here, it's happening in group practices where we are seeing like numbers are down. But also I'm seeing in solo practice, I've had a couple folks tell me, and of course this is anecdotal because it's a couple, but you know, premium fee therapists who have been full for years, like waitlist, always waitlist. And now they have like a couple open spots, which is going against years and years and years.
Sure.
This data of having kind of a lineup out the door. And so we are seeing this kind of dampening in numbers.
I want to pause for just a moment, because if you're listening to this podcast, there's a really good chance you care deeply about the work you do, but the financial side of private practice still feels stressful. And honestly, that makes complete sense. As therapists and health practitioners, we were never taught this stuff. But there's something I want you to know. Financial skills are totally learnable. And learning them is one of the most powerful ways you can take care of yourself so that you can continue to show up for and take care of others. That's why I host free live workshops every month, designed specifically for private practice owners who feel stuck, whether it's mindset blocks, avoidance, or the technical side of managing money. In just 1 hour together, you'll gain clarity, practical strategies, and next steps to move forward with intention. Head to moneyskillsfortherapist.com/workshops today. That's moneyskillsfortherapist.com/workshops to see what's coming up and register to join us live or get the replay. I'd love to see you there.
So let's kind of zoom out a little bit because, you know, this episode is unofficially called In This Economy. What do you see happening in the economy? Like, we're not officially in a recession.
Yeah.
But we're definitely not booming either.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry,
right. Okay. So, yeah, officially not in a recession. I definitely want to get your input on this too. I'm in the U.S., you're in Canada, but you work with a lot of American practices as well. So what we are seeing is a lot of inflation, right? The cost of living is really high. And there's a lot of fear is kind of what's going on in the market, right? Where changes to health insurance, where for a lot of folks are kind of bracing for, including small businesses, right? For significant increases, most likely coming at the end of the year for open enrollment, for renewals of health insurance. That is likely what's going to be happening just based on the legislative changes this year, right? And so when then people lose access to healthcare, that reduces the pool of folks who can go to therapy. But when everything is just feeling a lot more expensive these days, and that's certainly how it's feeling over here, is you start looking for like what is a little bit more optional, right? What is something that we could do without? And therapy is as helpful as it is and can be, but specifically sometimes cash pay therapy, right? If we're looking at, in my area, if you're going to see someone once a week, that's probably $800 a month. It's $200 per session, $800 a month. Like that's, by eliminating that, that's a lot of money coming back into the household. We are seeing sometimes that is no longer sustainable, or folks are going to every other week, right? We're kind of changing the cadence of what they do. But we're also seeing practice owners just not wanting to make a lot of changes, right? Be kind of worried of like, well, do I have to just absorb the additional health insurance costs for my team members? Like, how are we going to do that? I don't want to reduce what we offer. It's costing them more to live. But at the same time, we're seeing sometimes reimbursement decreases. What do we do, right? There's a lot of things that are just squeezing practice owners.
Yeah.
Are making it just really, really hard. And also on top of that, SEO and ads don't work the way they used to, right? What worked 2 years ago no longer works. And so it's kind of a relearning process. So that's what I'm seeing on my side. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there are a couple pieces going on. One is, as you say, there's just this like feeling of being squeezed, of more tightness, inflation over the last few years. Life has just gotten more expensive.
Yes.
And I think what also used to be considered, you know, a comfortable upper middle class income is no longer comfortable. It's now just like what you need to get by, right? I had a student of mine tell me, this was a couple years ago even, that her accountant, who was based in Edmonton, his opinion was that the new upper middle class was a household income of $300,000 before tax.
Wow.
Right? It's like, that is like truly comfortable. Below that, you're still having to make these like this or that kind of decisions with your money because everything is more. Everything's that little bit more. I notice it in myself. Like, it's always interesting to stop and notice our own consumer behaviors. Like when we ask, why aren't clients coming? Or in my case, why aren't people so keen to buy courses right now? Or I think about my own consumer behaviors. When I go to the grocery store now and there's a stand that says like $4 bags of nuts, I'm like, yeah, I'll take a $4 bag of nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to pay $10 right now. I'm feeling a little price sensitive, right? So I think that price sensitivity is across the board for a lot of people. And I think there's reasons for that that are economic. And there's also reasons that are political and cultural.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there's a lot of bracing happening. You know, when changes started being rolled out by this new government, I was like stunned at what rolled out so fast. It's like there's just so much change that's so shocking and so just fear-inducing for a lot of folks. Just this like, that's happening all the time. And what do? When we're scared? Like, we tend to freeze. We brace, right? Like, it doesn't feel wise to take a risk. When it also feels like, but what's happening in the broader picture? A neighbor of mine who is very business-minded made this comment that certainty breeds prosperity. When we feel certain that everything is good, then we are so much more willing to make an investment, you know, maybe bet on ourselves a little bit, go for that bigger this or that, because we believe that, you know, more money is coming. But when things feel uncertain, naturally, we're going to become tighter, right? Like physically, we become tighter. I think we're stressed, right? We become physically tighter. We become tighter with our money. So I see that in therapists, right? Like our fear to invest in our businesses, and our clients are experiencing that as they're trying to decide, as you say, do I pay $800 for therapy that I know is really going to help me with my childhood trauma? Or do I keep that $800 in my household because money has become very tight, right? And I want to make sure that there's extra money left at the end of the month and I'm not scraping bottom. So, you know, I think there's that.
Do you dread tax time because you haven't saved enough for taxes? Are you totally confused and lost about your business finances? Do you worry that you'll never be able to retire or save for your kids' college education? If you bury your head in the sand because you think you'll never be a money person, I want to let you in on a huge secret. All you need to manage your private practice finances are a simple series of skills that you can learn. After all, you already did the hard work of graduating from college, becoming a therapist, and starting your private practice. Hi, I'm Lindsay Bonham. I'm a therapist turned money coach and the creator of Money Skills for Therapists. I've helped hundreds of therapists just like you develop peace of mind about their money. I invite you to watch my free masterclass where I teach my four-step framework to get your business finances totally in order. In the masterclass, I cover the three biggest mistakes that therapists make that keep them from getting clarity on their private practice finances, the secret that most accountants don't want you to know, and why working with your mindset and emotions is essential to changing your patterns with money. This masterclass is for therapists and health practitioners who are running or about to start a private practice. It is the first step in learning about my signature course, Money Skills for Therapists. Register today with the link in the show notes to take the first step to go from money confusion, anxiety, and shame to feeling clear and empowered about your money. I look forward to supporting you.
The other thing I think that is happening is we are experiencing the, I don't know if it's just like the natural market correction is a word I would never use on my podcast, to be clear. But it does make you think about like a natural like correcting out of COVID was such a boom time for therapy.
Yes. Yes. Right?
It was so terrible in so many ways. And yet people got therapy because they were stuck at home. Therapy was something you could access online. Maybe you couldn't see your massage therapist or your osteo, but you could talk to somebody about your stress and anxiety that was probably through the roof.
Yes.
So for a little while there, like our job as therapists was to not burn out because we had so much demand, right? And so that was a boom. That was, you know, a high watermark for us as an industry, as much as it's terrible, because the work that we do helps people get through terrible things. Yes. And now I think there's also been a bit of a natural correction there, to put it a certain way, just like an evening out, that we couldn't have stayed in those high numbers forever. Right. At a certain point, people want to spend their money on something else.
Yeah. As in, like, for a couple of years, we saw that really, really high demand. And now we're kind of back to pre-COVID, right? Where there's still a demand. There's definitely still a lot of folks who need therapy, but it's not as much of a priority necessarily, right? Is that kind of what I'm hearing you say?
Too, during COVID, we saw a lot of folks seek therapy who wouldn't have under other circumstances. Right. So they only sought therapy because they were stuck at home and things got so bad. They were like, I need to talk to somebody. And they couldn't see their friends and they couldn't see their family and they couldn't go to the beach and they couldn't do anything. And so I think, too, we're probably getting closer to now that more typical therapy population, which is folks who have done all the pre-work that it takes to be like, OK, I need to do this work. I want to do this work. This work is worth it. But there's always been like a large part of the population who's really resistant to therapy and aren't interested in therapy because it's hard and it's icky and it's vulnerable. And now I wonder if like the fact that a lot of those folks can go paddleboarding instead means that they're not going to therapy, which to me, again, that's just kind of like a maybe like a natural evening out. And I do think that the culture has changed for the positive in that more folks now are open to therapy and will go back to therapy if they need to. But also a lot of people did therapy a lot during COVID. So at a certain point, they're going to be like, OK, I'm good with therapy for now.
Yeah. Anything else that you're noticing within maybe compensation or benefits or kind of those decisions around hiring?
Yeah. I mean, what I am also hearing from a lot of group practice owners specifically is that it's a lot of competition to try to find folks, right? So they are having to make decisions around how much can they actually offer to hire. Yeah. And as a group practice owner, we know it's really easy to over-offer because you want to be that great boss. You want to attract that great therapist. You want to be a good person. But I definitely see a lot of therapists, they're having to really, hopefully, get really clear on their numbers so they're making offers that they can actually afford, because new therapists coming to the space, it's easier and easier to just work for yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, which, you know, to be clear, I'm totally an advocate for. If you're up for the business stuff, definitely do it.
Yeah.
So I think, too, you're seeing a lot of applicants who are, like, demanding more, which on the group practice side means that group practice owners are having a hard time attracting new clinicians or maybe retaining people and having to figure out that balance of what can they actually offer and what will actually, like, destroy their business if they offer it. So I'm definitely seeing more demands from applicants.
So I will be the first to say the insurance market has not kept up, right? I think that therapists are still vastly underpaid compared to other medical specialties. Like, that was the case 10 years ago. That is even more so the case today. And yet, like, I get so much hate online for saying to group practice owners that you cannot overpay, like, your practice will fail if you overpay your therapist, right? And the hate is usually in the form of, like, look at these people telling therapists to not, group practice owners to not pay us, or we're worth more, we should get paid a fair living wage. Like, yeah, I agree with that. And yet, like, if the business that you work for goes underwater, that helps literally no one, right? Like, then there is no business left. A business has to make money. That's how capitalism works, like it or not. Like, it's not a nonprofit. A business must generate more revenue than it spends, right? That's how a business works, or it will no longer operate. And actually, for nonprofits, that's the same is true. They still have to bring in more dollars than what it actually costs to run the nonprofit. So even in a nonprofit sense, like that, the numbers still work the same way. But so that is even more important now, right? Where that's where the squeeze is happening. Those reimbursement rates are not going up. Sometimes they're even going down. And brand new clinicians are coming in saying, like, I want to work 15 hours a week and make 100 grand. Like, that's great. And that's not possible, right? Like, there is no math that's going to work for that. And I hope that someday there is. I do hope so. But in a group practice setting, that's simply not possible. It may be in a private pay setting, but then you might be dealing with other things in a private pay setting, like not having enough clients to keep you full, right? So there's kind of always an ebb and flow and a balance. Of course, a private pay practice can pay more, but it also costs a lot more to get a new client in the door.
It does. Yes. Yeah. There's a No matter what, business has its challenges, right? No matter what kind of practice we have, we're going to have our challenges. Yeah. And so I'm hearing like, yeah, that reimbursement is lower. It's not catching up. So that's also something that's kind of like squeezing therapy practices. And this is what I see sometimes is that for some folks, and this is where for some people it does end up making sense to go private pay, the reimbursements are so low that no matter how many hours you work, you're not actually going to make enough, especially if you're like a solo parent.
Yes.
You just won't make enough to support your life, right? So that's another kind of squeeze that we're seeing is this larger system, this insurance system that we don't have direct control over, has not valued the therapy very much in terms of reimbursements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also in this economy, I do think a lot of practice owners have realized they do not actually want to be business owners. They do not like the business side of running a practice. And that's whether it's a solo or group practice. I think a lot of people go in thinking, oh, well, I'll just, you know, have a website and that'll be that, right? Like I will just, the clients will come to me and I'll see clients and that'll be it. But as you and I know, there's so much more to being a business owner than that, right? There's the compliance piece. There's the marketing piece. Like how does money come in? The billing, the payment processing, the taxes at the end of the year. There's just so many different things that is often unpaid labor, right? You're not directly getting paid for the time spent doing that. And I've definitely seen more of that this year of people saying, you know what? This is not for me. So either they're going from a group back to solo or just opting out altogether and saying, I will make more money working for group practice. So I'm going to go do that at this point because I do not enjoy managing people and all of this stuff that comes with it.
Yeah. Or, you know, I'm thinking about solo practice owners go back to work for like a hospital system or something like that. Yeah, it is true. Because we're at a time now where, again, like the market's a little quieter. It's a little harder to get those clients. We're no longer having to like put a table against our door to protect ourselves from the people like beating down our door. Now that we're not in that place, I think a lot of the normal challenges of running a business are becoming applicable to therapists that maybe we were a little spared from before.
Yeah, for the last few years.
Yeah, having to like figure out all these different ways to market and you figure out how to really get our numbers really working for us. Yeah, some of us have not really had to do this work before. And now this might be the project that a lot of group practice owners or solo practice owners are having to do as things kind of quiet down a little bit.
Yeah. Something I say often is in small business, it's not a question of if something will go wrong. It's a question of when, right? And this is the when. Now is the when for a lot of people.
Yes.
Like something is going wrong. As the business owner, it's on you. You have to deal with it. And there is no one else coming to save you. You have to figure it out.
Okay.
And it's not easy.
This is the most downer episode I've ever recorded.
Sorry, everyone.
There's a part 2 coming. Everyone who's listening right now and is like, oh my God, this episode's almost over. And they only talked about things that are bad. So we are doing a part 2 to this episode because we really wanted to give the lay of the land. So let's summarize, Julie, kind of our analysis so far of kind of what's going on. We've got economy generally kind of damp, people in a bit of like a bracing position right now.
Like holding on to money.
Holding on to money. Yeah. Well, I'm making motions with my hand that my listeners won't be able to see because we do not do full YouTube. Grasping onto their money. So we've got that kind of vibe. That's kind of the zeitgeist right now. Insurance reimbursements are lower sometimes than they even were a couple of years ago. You're getting not paid as much. We're seeing after COVID, maybe this like boom that we had in therapy is now kind of evened out. We're back to maybe more pre-COVID numbers.
Mm-hmm. Marketing is challenging.
Yes. Marketing is challenging.
If you have employees, they're asking for more, even though there is no more juice left to squeeze often.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of these squeezing for all times. And I will say in terms of the marketing piece, things like SEO and Facebook ads not working like they used to.
Yeah.
I remember when Facebook ads, I will share personally, was like a machine in the kind of marketing course that I did that helped me launch Money Skills for Therapists in the way I sell it now. There was kind of this idea of like Facebook is like a machine and like you put in a dollar and $3 come out or $4 come out. Like there really was a time when we talked about Facebook that way. And that time is over. So running those like Instagram ads and Facebook ads still can get you folks, but it's definitely not, again, we are out of this kind of boom time for therapy and for online business too, I would add. So that's kind of our lay of the land.
What a downer.
What a downer.
Have some solutions for you, right? Some ideas for you in episode 2. So I do hope you will join us for the next episode. On a more positive note.
Yes.
We're doing all the hand signals, like we're going to be so positive, folks. Come on back.
Do some self-care, ground yourself, read some escapist romanticy. That's my new coping mechanism in life. And come back next week and we're going to talk about how to adjust to these times that we're in.
Perfect.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you, Lindsay.
I'm Lindsay Bonham, therapist turned money coach and creator of Money Skills for Therapists. If you're ready to go from money confusion and shame to feeling clear and empowered, my free on-demand masterclass is the best place to start. You'll learn my four-step framework to get your private practice finances finally working for you. Register today using the link in the show notes or go to moneynutsandbolts.com under masterclass. I look forward to supporting you.